hard to find a good bagel in Wisconsin. In many communities, you know, your only option is what you can find in that frozen food section of your grocery store, maybe a gas station. But our guest today wants to change that and help us make New York deli quality bagels in our own homes with sweet and savory spreads and toppings to boot. Have you made bagels at home before? What's worked well for you? What hasn't? You can join in 800-642-1234. You can email us ideas@wpr.org. Joining us now, Kathy Barrow, food writer and author of a new cookbook, Bagels, Schmears, and a Nice Piece of Fish, a whole brunch of recipes to make at home. Kathy, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Molly. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Your book goes into some of your family history with food and your heritage. What has bagels meant to you?
Bagels have been central to my family's celebrations since I can remember. Every family get-together, most Sundays, certainly weddings, bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs, all of it, there were always bagels there.
And I know some folks may be wondering, and some folks may be being me, is it worth all of the time and attention and the trouble to really make a wonderful bagel? How long does it take?
Well, it takes about 20 minutes in the evening to mix the dough and form the bagels. And then it takes about 20 active minutes in the morning to boil them and put them in the oven. And in 16 minutes, once they've gotten into that hot oven, you'll have a beautiful bagel as though you just walked out of a New York bagel bakery.
Okay, you're making it sound easy.
It's very easy.
So how do we do it? Where do we start?
Well, we start with the central ingredient, which is high gluten flour. This is not a usual flour. It has a very high protein content, and that is what contributes to the very shiny, crackly exterior shell on a good bagel. And in order to get that high gluten flour, we have a couple of options. One is to mail order it from a variety of baking sources, but most often from King Arthur up in Vermont. And if you don't want to do that, you can add a product called Vital Wheat Gluten Flour, which is available everywhere and is very reasonably priced. And you add 2 teaspoons to a cup of all-purpose flour, and you've created that same high protein content that will give you a perfect bagel.
Okay, so we've got the high gluten flour, but what about water? Clear this up for me, because I have heard people say that the quality of your water makes a difference. Where do you come down on that?
I don't know who perpetuated that falsehood, but let me tell you that once, many, many years ago, in order to test a theory, I brought back a bottle of water from New York City, and I tried making bagels, and they just were terrible. So I don't think it has anything to do with the water. It had to do with the fact that I didn't know about high gluten flour at the time. And once I learned about that, it all worked out. Your water will not make a difference, and it doesn't make a difference if it's warm or cold or room temperature when it goes into the mixer.
Okay. So any water will do. High gluten flour. What else?
Well, I like to use a yeast that is called SAF Instant Yeast. And this was a product that was widely available for professional bakers for a long time, and now it's available to home bakers. And it is instant, which means that rather than put that yeast in warm water and worry about whether you're getting enough bubbles, you know that moment when you like sprinkle the yeast over the warm water and look at it and say, is it alive? Is it bubbling? Instant yeast stirs directly into the dry ingredients. There's no need to bloom it, no need to worry. I love it. So I use the SAF Instant. If all you have is active dry yeast, which you get in the grocery store, that's just fine. You can use that too, but do bloom it first in a little bit of the water. And do not use rapid rise yeast. That just doesn't work.
Okay. So high gluten flour, water, yeast. Any other secrets?
Two more ingredients. See, it's only five ingredients. The fourth one is salt. I use Diamond Crystal salt, that kosher salt, and it has a sort of large crystal and a good bright salty taste. If you are a home that uses Morton's kosher salt, you'll want to use about half as much. Sea salt is fine. I try to avoid iodized table salt when I'm using any yeast. And the fifth product, the fifth ingredient is barley malt syrup. Now, this is what gives bagels that malty, rich, sweet, yummy scent and flavor. It's the smell that smacks you in the face when you open the door of a warm bagel bakery. And this is, it's very easy to find online. It's a good, often it's found in like beer supply making stores, places like that. So barley malt syrup, very sticky, kind of an annoying product to use, but you only need a tablespoon.
Okay, and specifically barley malt as opposed to any other kind of sweetener or syrup.
You know, barley malt is what makes them sort of officially bagels. It makes them smell right and taste right. But if you can't find that, I've substituted honey or maple syrup with great success.
Okay, and then you have to let the dough, once you've mixed it, once you get it, you've got to let it sit and rest overnight, right?
You do. You know, adding that sweetener to that high protein flour just makes the yeast go pow, and the bagels want to just explode like a big balloon, and they will proof in an hour. But the flavor will be like flat. There's just no time for all of the flavors to really develop. So bagels have always been traditionally proofed slowly in the refrigerator overnight. So I have a calendar, a time plan for making bagels if you want to bake them in the morning, or for making them if you want to bake them at night. And that's on one of the pages in the introduction to the book. It's useful if you don't really know what overnight means.
Yeah,
Such a weird word, isn't it?
we got a message from Kim on Facebook. She swears by the La Brea Breaker, La Brea Bakery. That's a tongue twister recipe. She says, I make the dough the day before. I give it an overnight long cool ferment in the fridge or in the winter, put it in the garage. I love hand rolling and shaping them. They freeze great. Frankly, if I have a good bagel shop nearby, Kim says, I wouldn't go to all the effort.
Oh, well, she hasn't made my bagel recipe.
And we should say it is, we have more information available on our website, wpr.org/centraltime. Links to much more information about making bagels. So I'm wondering about the rolling process. So how are you, what's your technique for making them perfectly round?
Well, first of all, let's just give up the idea that they should be perfectly anything, right? If they have a hole in the center, we're good. I use one of two methods. One is the Pokum method, where you have a nice tight ball of dough that you've rolled under the palm of your hand, and you take it and press both thumbs right into the middle and tear a hole through that ball of dough. And then using your two index fingers around one another, you stretch that interior hole a little bit, put your palm, four fingers through the center of the hole, and roll it on the table a little bit to tighten that exterior shell. So that's the easiest way to do it. Now, the other way is the way you may have seen bagel rollers in shops do it, and that's to make a rope that you then bring around your hand and seal in the middle of your palm tight, and then roll that seal, that seam on the table. And there are actually people who specialize in this, the bagel rollers of New York. There's a small contingent of them. So, it takes some time to get really good at it, but every bagel's delicious. It doesn't have to be perfect.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. We're talking about bagels, and we will be talking about lox and schmears as well with Kathy Barrow, author of a new cookbook designed to help you make New York-style deli delicacies at home. We'd love to hear from you. Are you able to find good bagels in your area? What separates a good bagel from a mediocre bagel? What kind are your favorite? Sweet, savory, let's hear about it. 1-800-642-1234. You can always email us ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenson for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're talking to Kathy Barrow. She wrote a new cookbook, Bagels, Schmears, and a Nice Piece of Fish, a whole brunch of recipes to make at home. I want to hear what you think. Do you have a favorite schmear, a spread, a topping for your bagel? Have you ever tried to make them at home? Let's hear about it. 1-800-642-1234. Well, Kathy, I gotta ask, for those who are gluten-free or celiac, what options do they have for bagels?
I'm very proud of the gluten-free bagel recipe in this book. I worked with a friend of mine who's a pastry chef in Washington, D.C., and after working in a bakery and then owning a bakery for many years, she developed a gluten intolerance. And so she really knows her way around gluten-free flours and helped me develop a recipe that I think is as close to my gluten-filled bagel recipe as it could be. It's very, very delicious and has that crackly exterior shell and that chew, all the things you expect from a bagel.
So what flour do you use?
Well, you use the gluten-free blend that you can find in the grocery store from either Bob's or King Arthur. They're very commonly found these days. And then there are some specialty products that you need, something called modified tapioca starch. It's sold under the name Expandex, and a couple of other ingredients that help you achieve all of that texture.
And levity as well, so that they're not dense?
Oh, they're not dense. They're not. They bounce on top of the water when you boil them before baking, just like a regular bagel. It's really quite remarkable.
Interesting. I will check that out. Now, when it comes to spreads, you start with a master schmear recipe that serves as your base. Tell me about that.
So I know that a lot of people like to buy whipped cream cheese because it's easier to spread on your bagel and it's a pleasing texture. But for me, that product has too many stabilizers and other products added to what is basically a beautiful dairy product, speaking to all of you out there in Wisconsin. I love cream cheese, but if I wanted to have that nice texture, I use a trick that my great-grandmother taught me, and that's to add just a little bit of sour cream and a little bit of lemon juice, and then beat the cream cheese with a spoon until it's nice and soft and fluffy. And that gives you exactly what you expect when you open that whipped cream cheese, but it doesn't have any of the stuff in it. And that then becomes the base for a couple dozen opportunities for schmears, and they could either be savory, with chive or some of your leftover lox or olives or vegetables, and or sweet. Like I have a cannoli cream cheese that's really delicious with mini chocolate chips and candied orange peel. And yeah, that's good. Dried apricot, thyme. I mean, there are a lot of really nice choices.
And so do you prefer to put the toppings in your spreads as opposed to the bagel themselves? Where do you come down on ingredients in bagels, adding things?
Well, there are two sections in the bagel part of my book. One is classic bagels, those that I'm most familiar with. And then another section is called Bagels My Grandmother Wouldn't Recognize. And
Right.
that's the one that includes the bagels that have things in them. I mean, there's a sun-dried tomato and Kalamata olive bagel that is the best sandwich bagel you've ever had. It's so good. Even just melting a piece of provolone cheese on top of that makes it a party. So I think there's a place for ingredients in bagels. And if you'd asked me that 2 years ago, I would have given you a big side eye. But I've moved. I've moved. I've changed. I've learned. I think it's a big thing.
I love it. I love it. Well, I want to go to the phones where we have Timothy from Minnesota standing by to join us. Good afternoon, Timothy. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. I actually had a question about what you were just talking about, really kind of making the leap from different kinds of spreads or schmears for bagels to ingredients. I think my experience, I was in New York City a few years ago, and I think I went to Katz Deli, and the bagels they were serving there were full of ingredients, and I guess I was shocked because, it was kind of like the sky's the limit in terms of what they would put, and these kind of came out like sandwiches. So, hearing that you divided your book that way, when did you recognize that that was kind of, the division? Or I guess, what have you learned since you started kind of working with it that way?
Ooh, good question.
That's a great question. I knew that I wanted to have a chapter on sandwiches, and as I started to think about great sandwich, my life in great sandwiches, there were some that I remembered on, flavored breads like sourdough with olives in it or things like that that made me think there was a place for bagels to be the same. To have all those nice ingredients. There's a granola bagel. I really wasn't sure about it, but I thought I'd give it a try. And it's become one of our house favorites. It's just yummy. It's got like cinnamon and oats and lots of little pieces of nuts. It's a wonderful bagel. So I'm surprised.
So you are actually throwing those ingredients directly into the bagel when you mix them.
I am.
See, I am a classic sesame. I don't know. I don't know if I can
Yeah.
be moved.
Well, it's worth trying. I move people I never thought would move, honestly. My former editor was one of the people who tested some of these recipes, and I would send her a recipe for like a blueberry bagel, and she'd send back a note and say no. And I'd say, come on, just try. And then she did, and she liked it. So you never know.
That must have been a fun perk of the job.
It was a very fun perk.
Well, I gotta ask about storage because after you go through making these beautiful, wonderful, fresh bagels, how do you actually keep them fresh?
Well, first, I'm very happy. I worked really hard to make all of the bagel recipes yield only six bagels, which to me seems like a reasonable number. I live in a household with one other person, and it takes a long time to go through 12, but six is good. So within 4 hours of baking your bagels, if you can wrap them up and put them directly in the freezer without slicing them, they will stay fresh for up to 3 months. Now, you reconstitute them by preheating your oven, or I use my toaster oven, to 350 degrees. When it's preheated, put a frozen bagel directly on the rack for 10 minutes, and it's as though you just baked that bagel.
Okay. And we've
And
got.
the same thing is true if you're buying commercial bagels. Let me just say that.
We've got some emails for you coming in. Grant asks, he says, I've been baking bagels for many years, but I've never used bagel boards. How do you properly use them? What do you suggest?
So in a commercial bagel bakery, bagels are placed on long rectangular pieces of wood, and then they're flipped over halfway through baking so that they bake on both the top and the bottom. And the bagels are usually baked in what's called a deck oven. You know them from pizzerias, where most of the heat comes from the top, and that's why a bagel board is required. Now, I worked initially, I was trying to figure out if I had to flip my bagels over. And that's when my husband named everything spice, everywhere spice, because when I flipped them over, I got sesame seeds and everything else all over the oven and the kitchen, and it was a bad idea from the get-go, I just have to say. So instead, I bake bagels on a hot surface. I take them from the boiling water, put them on parchment that's sitting on a pizza peel. I add my seeds, I sprinkle seeds on very generously, and then I slide that parchment directly onto a baking steel, which is an all-metal version of a pizza stone. If you don't have either of those, flip a baking sheet over and heat it up with the oven so that you have a screaming hot surface underneath the bagel. And you slide that parchment on it, your bagels are going to cook on the underside as well as on the top.
Gotcha. Well, I've got to ask before we let you go, what is your current favorite bagel?
My current favorite has never changed. It's an everything bagel, untoasted, chive cream cheese, a thin slice of tomato only in season, a nice hefty portion of lox, some capers, and a little bit of ground pepper.
Oof. Thank
I
you,
know,
Kathy, for.
hungry now, right?
Right. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Molly.
Kathy Barrow is a food writer and author of the new cookbook, Bagels, Schmears, and a Nice Piece of Fish, a whole brunch of recipes to make at home.